Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, what do you got there?
This is the new Ping G430 Max 10K driver. It's next level, I'll tell you. It's so impressive. We all know that Ping help you play your best. I've been using them for years. I wouldn't use anything else. In fact, this new driver, it's Ping's straightest and highest moment of impact driver ever.
Holy moly. So on the course, what's that going to mean? How's it going to help golfers?
Well, to put it simply, it means people are going to be hitting longer, straighter, and they're going to absolutely crack their drives off the tee. I could talk about it all day. It's that good. But the best thing to do, if you want to check out how impressive Ping's new G430 Max 10K driver is, just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting, and I'll see you out there with my Ping gear.
Okay, here we go. Week 17 of the golfing year, and we're back live from the Australian Golf Centre, home of Golf Australia and the PGA of Australia. And we're excited about Watch My Numbers, the most powerful database golf app in the world, an absolute ripper. Go and check it out. You can download it from the App Store or from Google Play. It's well worth a look. And thanks to the great team at Ping, they'll help you play your best. You can see your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting. And of course, thanks to the Golf Clearance Outlet, they beat everyone's prices. You can say hi to them in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth in person or online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Okay, let's go. This is the most listened to Australian golf podcast, Talk Birdie to Me. And now, Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
So rocked up here at Australian Golf Headquarters, where we do the podcast from every single week. It is a magnificent day. And they're burning off on the golf course, which is a very good thing, because that's going to grow back absolutely magnificent. But the thing I noticed, Nick, there is not one spot on the driving range floor. Golf is absolutely pumping at the moment, and I don't know why.
Did you see my wife out in the range? She was probably there hitting balls as well.
Was she?
No, I'm kidding. But she does love to come down here and hit balls.
I don't know about you, but in my little world where I walk around, and there is more interest in people wanting to play golf at the moment than almost the Greg Norman halcyon days of years gone past.
You know, they're talking about the ratings on the TV going down at the moment because of all what's going on in world golf. I think it might be because everyone's out in the golf course instead of being at home watching it on the TV.
It may well be. The other thing is, too, a lot of people watch golf on social media these days. Yeah. I mean, quite often I'll be at work on a Monday, and if I'm in a room where I can't have my computer on the actual golf tournament, I'll just slyly look at X or wherever else I'm looking at. And you will see everything you need to know. You know, if you follow the PGA Tour, if you follow Liv, if you follow whatever, you will be able to see the whole lot.
Yeah.
But it's strange because golf with the PGA Tour and Liv thing that's just churning away, it is amazing how many people are calling me to get a new set of clubs, calling me for a lesson, sending me their video online, sending their kids swing through. I've never been, and I like it. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I really like helping people. I mean, I know you do too. I know you do too.
Love it.
I love helping people with their game, and not so much trying to teach them to be Nick Faldo or Ludwig Åberg. I just like hearing that they're having fun on the golf course.
Yeah,
you know, or they're having fun trying to improve, or they're having fun just trying to hit it as far as they possibly can, or whatever floats their boat in the world of golf. But I just feel like at the moment, golf, away from the professional tours, is pumping.
It's booming, yeah. I caught up with Craig Spence, actually, earlier this morning for a coffee. We catch up every once in a while.
The 99 Australian Masters champion.
Of course. Yeah. He has one of those gold jackets.
Yeah. He wears it every once in a while.
I remember you saying that.
He does. Yeah. I think he wears it on Spaghetti Bolognese night. He just rips it out, and
there you go.
Nicole just, you know, brings over the spaghetti bowl and shaves some of the cheese onto his spaghetti, and he just sits there in his gold jacket.
Why wouldn't you too, right?
Mark, did you say before people call you when they want a set of clubs? What, do you got a Facebook Marketplace scam going on in the garage or something?
No, I just send them to the Callaway kid, Matty Tudor.
Oh, there you go. There right, you go. Okay.
So I do the fit over the phone, and then I call Matty Tudor.
Yeah.
He's from the Golf Hub down there at Elwood Park, and
perfect.
Before you know it.
So I was out chatting with Craig earlier, and he was saying the same thing, because he works down at the Melbourne Park driving range.
Yeah, that's right.
Melbourne Golf Park, I think it's called now.
Melbourne Golf Park.
Yes.
Yep.
And he said, it's unbelievable.
It's pumping.
How busy it is down there.
Pumping.
People are loving the game at the moment. And if you do happen to watch the telly, you'll see two people who are leading the charge, right?
Oh, Scotty Scheffler and Nelly Korda. Unbelievable.
Five in a row for Nelly. That's the only the third person to do it.
Yeah.
On the women's PGA behind, who was it, Nancy Lopez?
Yeah, and it's got to be Annika.
Annika. Yeah. Annika did it about 20 years ago. Nancy did it back in the 70s from memory.
Yeah.
Scotty Scheffler, as we're recording the pod,
Plays
got suspended, so he's basically going to win. He's got a five-shot lead with three holes to play. Did you see the stat on him earlier?
I've seen a lot of stats.
53 holes in this tournament without a five or more. He's had a four or less on 53 holes in a row. I mean, are you kidding me?
And the five he made was because he hit it in the water on his second shot.
On the last hole before the delay.
And he still made a par. Do you know what? I'm going to look in the stats in a second because I haven't looked at the stats. I think in 2024, I think he's a better iron player than Tiger Woods was at his best. Now, I haven't looked at any stats, and you need stats to back it up probably. The driver's one thing. The driver, you know, it's not hard to be better than Tiger's driver, all right? Unless you saw him at the US Open at Pebble Beach when he won by 13 shots, because that was just ridiculous driving.
Well, Stephen Ames didn't think he drove it very straight. But he'll never say that again.
But I always felt like Tiger was, the greatest iron player that the world has ever seen. I thought that was his, the real big one. In my book, he was the best putter I've ever seen as well, and his short game was equivalent to probably Seve Ballesteros at Seve's absolute best. And, if you've got those three things in order, you're going to be pretty hard to beat. But Scotty Scheffler's iron play, and the four tournaments he's won, I mean, he's won two elevated events, the Masters and the Players' Championship, basically the big four in the first 4 months of 2024.
It's incredible.
It's a joke.
Yeah. And I saw this on one of the social platforms coming into Hilton Head, where they're playing the RBC Heritage.
Yeah.
His scoring average was 67.6. And it's going to get lower after this week because he's shooting below that as well.
Yeah.
Now, Tiger's lowest scoring average was in 2000. And it was 68.17. So he's a half a shot below what Tiger was in his best year ever.
Yeah.
We're only, five events into the season for him. But the other thing I got to have a look up is Nelly Cordes, because she's on a tear as well.
Five in a row.
With a major in that as well.
And a match play event. And a match play event where she had to beat someone every day.
Crazy. Crazy how good she's playing. I watched quite a bit of it, the Chevron Championship. And she's just in another class.
Yeah.
Just in another class. And when she needs to step it up, she just goes that extra gear and away she goes.
That's exactly what I was going to tell you. Because when I watch her play, I feel like she's in a low gear. I don't think she's ever...
She's in cruise control.
I don't think she's ever got in first and going hell for leather, I think it's just the engine doesn't run that hard.
Mm.
She just glides along.
Yep. And I love her pace of play. Always ready to go. Not taking your time when it's unnecessary. She does when you need to, but it's so good to watch. So good to watch.
Where do I find the stats on Scheffler? Well, here I am. I used to be able to see it. View shot details. Stats, got it. I've got it for you, Nick.
Okay.
So, approach to the green, he's ranked number one. Strokes gained off the tee, he's ranked number one. Strokes gained total, of course, he's going to be ranked number one. But I don't think anyone has really been strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained irons.
Mm.
I can't remember anybody doing that before. Maybe Rory in a little burst of play. Driving accuracy, Now, this is where it gets stupid, okay?
Yep.
So we know he hits it a long way. Driving distance, he's number 35. So he's well and truly above the median line. Well and truly above it. Driving accuracy, number 3.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's scary.
It's crazy. I mean, greens and regulation, he's tied second. Scrambling? What do you reckon he's in scrambling?
Oh, he's top 10.
One.
Really?
He's number one.
And his putting is better than average. It's not as bad as people think. He's
29th this week.
Yeah, okay. So he's about middle of the field. Just around the
middle of the field, who made the cut. You're right.
Well, there is no cut this week. Oh, 69 players. So he's just slightly better than middle, but he's leading by 5. And he's 29th in putting.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is next level. Yeah. I heard him talking about his foot slide this week.
Okay. Mm.
He feels like that eliminates the miss left. I reckon I've heard Greg Norman saying the same thing.
Yeah, I could find a way to flip the hands and miss it left.
Well, yeah, they show that front-on shot of him. Mm. There's no hand flip.
Right.
He's anti-hand flip. There's nothing. Yeah. Well, there's no hand flip at all.
When he does the hand flip and he has all these weird finishes, I've heard him talk about this before. When he works on his game and his golf swing, he's always working on things that are more athletic movements that will help him recover from bad swings when the pressure's on. Now, no one talks in those terms. They always talk about positions and angles. Whenever you see him get into a bit of a funky follow-through, or he loses his balance, or he's had to sort of flip it a little, even though it doesn't look like it, he's actually just recovering from things in the downswing that he knows the ball's going to go a certain way. So even when he does make a bad swing or backswing or transition or whatever, he's still able to recover on that downswing so that the ball still goes in the right direction. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. So I've got the stats now for the season.
Okay. Right? Oh, this could be good.
For the season. Shots gained total, Scotty Scheffler number one. Shots gained tee to green, Scotty Scheffler number one. Kevin Doherty is number one off the tee. Scotty Scheffler, approach to the green, he is number one. Now, this is the one I want to have a quick look at. He's 0.2, right on 0.2, in front of Tom Hoagie, who is the next best.
Tom Hoagie. Okay.
Shane Lowry, number 3 for approach to the green.
Okay, yep.
I've never seen anyone dominate like this since Tiger Woods.
Yep.
Never.
No, and stats are showing it. The money list is showing it.
Yep.
I think he's got the third all-time amount of money made in a season, and he's only played 5 events.
Yep.
So it will overtake, obviously, once the year plays out.
Yep. So
he's leading basically in every category except putting.
So to put it in perspective, right? So we've been jumping up and down about Ludwig, right? Oh yeah, talking about iron shots to the green. He's not Ludwig. He's not in the top 10. He's not in the top 20. He's number 26. And we have been jumping up and down. Watch this guy play. Watch this guy. Watch. Scheffler is that far ahead of the person who I would have sworn up and down, black and blue, that he was number 2.
Mm.
He's number 26.
Is he really? Wow.
I mean, it's a total domination. And can I tell you this, when I first saw him.
And you compare the two looking at them.
Yeah.
And you'd go, well, this guy is obviously much better than him.
That's right.
But the stats tell a completely different story.
That's exactly right. That was my point. I was going to say, when I first saw him, when he first won a couple of times, I thought, there's half a chance we'll never see this bloke ever again in about 3 years. I can remember thinking it to myself, and I probably said it somewhere.
Would you like some baby news?
Some baby?
Baby news?
Hang on a second. Because at the time of recording, he's still got 3 hours to play, and he said at the Masters he'd go home. So,
ooh.
So what's the story?
The baby news?
Yeah.
There is no news.
Oh, thank God. Right.
Well, I didn't expect you to react quite like that.
Well, it was pretty big. I mean, imagine if she goes into labour overnight.
It was any day now, right?
Yeah, I know. Any day.
At the Masters.
Any day.
Well, a listener, when you're listening to this podcast, obviously we're hoping that he's won. Otherwise, the last 10 minutes
he had to go
means
home.
Nothing. Means absolutely nothing.
His stats are still pretty good, even if he doesn't win.
No, well on the Scheffler, well on the Nelly, unbelievable. Yep. What about this 15-year-old kid?
Of the Corn Ferry
at the Corn Ferry Tour, little left-hander, 15 years old,
swings it pure.
Shot 66 in the last round of the finish, I think 20th. Made the cut, which was big news. Did you see what he did in round three?
Yes.
I see. I knew you'd look.
I did. Yeah. I looked at his scores.
He went double bogey, 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 double bogey, 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 start.
Yep.
Right? That's after making the cut and a big fuss made about this kid.
Yep.
Then he ripped off five birdies to shoot under par.
Shot a one under 70.
Shot a one under par 70. Now, that tells me more about the kid than the 66 did in the last round.
Yep. I totally get it. And the scary thing is, I think he had his coach on the bag, and he said thankfully his coach was on the bag because he was in control of the yardage book. He's never used a yardage book.
Oh, he's always been a zapper. He's been zapping
it. It's this new generation. It's just lasers, basically. Right. We all grew up with, whenever you played events, you'd have a yardage book. I used to do my own. As a kid.
Yeah.
When you go to a new course and play a pennant match, I'd have to go around and measure all the greens myself, get the old yardstick out.
Yeah, that's it. The meter wheel. The meter wheel,
That's right.
I had a yard wheel. And when I first turned pro in 1990, and even some of the professional events that I qualified for as an amateur, back in those days, there was no paint spot allowed on any fairway. They weren't allowed to do it, especially at the Australian Open. The Australian Open was, I remember I played in the 1989 Australian Open at Kingston Heath when I was an amateur, and there were no paint spots anywhere. And because there's no paint spots anywhere, and in those days Kingston Heath didn't have any yardages on the sprinkler taps of the green, every sprinkler tap had a tree next door to it. So you had to know your Norfolk Island pine. You had to know your ghost gums. These days I drive along and the kids know that I know every tree. And the reason I know every tree is because I was a professional golfer in the 90s. it's very, very simple.
You had to know, there's the silver-backed whatever.
That is it, the silver birch. You had to know them all. You had to know every tree, the poplar. You had to know every single one, San Franciscan pine, all of them. You have to know them all.
San Franciscan pine.
Not anymore. That's right. You just get the Bushnell out.
What are you laughing at then?
Oh, I've never heard of a San Franciscan pine.
Well, there's a few up in Queensland.
Not anymore. But let me ask you this. As a 15-year-old, Flushing It posted his stock yardages. That's a good good one to follow, actually, Flushing It.
So hang on. So the 15-year-old kid, this Russell kid.
Yep. I've got his yardages here, what his stock carry distances are. Now, I know you talk about irons being stronger and everything, but I mean, he's 15. He's not big either.
No, he's not
big. He's only a small fella. No. 5-iron. How far did you hit your 5-iron when you were 15?
When I was 15 years old, I don't think I had hairy legs when I was 15, so I reckon I was hitting my 5-iron. Turn it into meters. It would have been 175 yards. So what's that? About 160 meters. I would have been hitting my Pro Simon 5-iron.
Okay. Yeah. So he's got you by about 40 yards. His 5-iron is 212, so what's that, 193 metres, basically. So now, I know that's probably more like a 4-iron of what we used to play back in the day, but the 9-iron apparently is going 157, so what's that, 143 metres. Yeah. He's got me by 20 metres as a 15-year-old.
I reckon at my longest, and with the old lofts, my 8-iron never went past 150 yards.
Yeah, I'm the same.
In America.
135 metres.
Yep. Never went past it. Never, ever.
Well, but I've always said to people, look, it doesn't matter how far you hit your irons, because if you want to hit a 7-iron further, guess what? Use a 6-iron.
Yeah,
right?
That's it.
It's the only club you want to get longer in the bag, really, is the driver. Yeah. And I think his carry distance was 280 yards.
Just on that, I was told a story once when Peter Thompson used to travel Australia and do all the wonderful exhibition matches that he did and Jack Nicklaus did and all those. The person, there would be a person in the crowd telling everybody what iron he was hitting in. And he would always club down.
Okay.
If he had a 6, he'd tell the guy he had a 7.
Oh, sneaky.
That's a sneaky move, isn't it?
Well, you got to use something to your advantage.
You're putting on a show, I guess, aren't you? Absolutely. You are putting on a show. Live Adelaide is this week.
It's coming.
Speaking of shows.
And I sent something to you, and we both raised our eyebrows. 20% more people or 30% more people? What was it?
I heard 50%.
50% more people.
There was a lot of people there last year because I was there doing radio with SEN. I'm not back there this year, unfortunately, but they're going to be, I don't know. I just hope something, not bad, but just something doesn't go wrong, where there's an incident or something with that many people and that much alcohol and all the fuss and the and the music and the hurrah and the hoopla.
And God knows what else. So last year we were talking about how there were crowds on the fringes towards the end, and there was...
Oh, on the back, on the edge of the green.
That's right.
That's right, yeah.
Where are they all going to go? If there's 50% more people... Now, I understand that there's a double-decker driving range.
Yes.
Which means people in the crowd can hit next to their star somehow. Does that make sense?
No, it does. It
How did they do it last year? I don't get it.
Well, people just stood at the back of the range and watched people hit. They couldn't... If you weren't in the first two or three rows of people watching, you couldn't see much. You needed one of those mirror things where you could pop it up.
So they've done a double decker.
So now they built a grandstand behind the range, and they've gone full on. Away we go to have a good look at it. Now last year that was the biggest build out at a tournament I've ever seen, because money's under
the range.
Oh no, I'm talking about around the golf course. I've never seen a build out like it.
And in Australia,
including the PGA Tour.
Including the PGA
it
Tour.
It was massive. Wherever there was grandstands, the village, the whole thing. I mean, it was just... The only thing comparable, I'd say, would be Phoenix, something like that. Because they had the party hole at the Grange, and they obviously have the stadium hole there at TPC Scottsdale.
Well, there's an extra 2,000 seats at the party hole. Speaking about the party hole, I'm just getting way off track here. I didn't realise that the grandstand at Arizona is permanent.
Yes.
I thought it was built up and down every year. I only found that out this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a given.
Well, I want to go and play now. I want to hit a shot in the stadium.
It'll be empty stadium. Yeah.
Anyway, look, the setup looks amazing, and I'll be watching. I imagine everyone who loves golf in this country will probably end up being watching. So I'll be interested to see if someone's got a putt at the last to win, and they ask everybody to be quiet again like last year. Which was unusual.
Yeah.
Golf, but louder.
It will be
except
there.
Except when you've got the putt to win.
That's true, yeah. It'll be their biggest event of the year again, as it was last year. Hard to replicate.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be fascinating.
So we recorded last week right here at Australian Golf Headquarters, and, of course, the second we left, we looked down at our phones there was a rumour about Rory McIlroy going to LIV. For what was it, $850 million plus a team built in and all the rest of it. I actually made a few phone calls in this vicinity and was told it was accurate.
Really?
Yes.
I heard it was from a reliable source.
Yeah. I was told it was accurate.
As in accurate that he'd been made the offer?
No. Accurate he was going.
Accurate was a done deal.
Yep.
We're ready to do a bonus pod if it happened.
No, we were. Yeah.
Actually, that person, I spoke to him on radio... On Monday.
Well, who was it?
I'm not going to say. Andrew Langford Jones. And he actually called into my spot on 3AW on the way over to Adelaide.
And
he's obviously killing some time, yeah. That's where it came from. So Andrew Langers thought it was accurate.
Wow.
He's not often wrong, Andrew Langford Jones, because he is in the know. So I didn't tell you guys that because I was kind of in shock, and I selfishly didn't want it to happen because I feel like if that happened, then golf explodes.
As in blows up.
Completely blows up.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of people out there who would love nothing more to see the PGA Tour blow up, but I'm not in that camp. I still think the PGA Tour is the place. If I was a young man right now, or a young woman even, I want to play in America because that's the best golf that's been played anywhere in the world, and not by a little bit, by a considerable margin, even the DP World Tour. I mean, I know that's a great tour as well, but I want to go to the PGA Tour. That's where I want to end up because there are four very big tournaments played there. The Players, the Open, I'm talking about the US Open, the US PGA, and, of course, the Masters as well. Four of the biggest events in the world are being played in America, and that's where you want to end up.
Well, for about 2 days, everyone was talking about Rory, saying, is he going, is he not going? And it was looking like he was going. Rory came out and was pretty unequivocal. Here's some of what he said.
I think I've made it clear over the past 2 years that I don't think it's something for me. Doesn't mean that I judge people that have went and played over there. I think one of the things that I've realized over the past 2 years is, you know, people can make their own decisions for, you know, whatever they think is best for themselves. And, you know, who are we to judge them for that? But Personally for me, you know, my future is here on the PGA Tour, and it's never been any different. You know, it's one of those things. It's unfortunate that we have to deal with it, and you know, this is the state that our game's in. And but yeah, I mean, I'm obviously here today, and I'm playing this PGA Tour event next week, and I will play the PGA Tour for the rest of my career.
So yeah, he basically was never offered anything. No. He's never been offered anything at LIV. And I mean, if you go back a little bit in history and talk to some of those players and some of their interviews, they said he'll never be coming here.
Yeah, yeah. So. I think you're right. I think you're right. Although, in a crazy world where money is astronomical, I thought, you know, he wouldn't have gone for Rahm money. There's no way. But that was almost double Rahm money.
It's the same old story. How much is enough? When you talk about those sorts of figures, does it really make any difference to his life? No, it wouldn't.
No.
Same with Rahm, I thought. But maybe Rahm was trying to speed up the process of things coming together, and it appears as though it hasn't worked out that way.
And he hadn't won a major for a while too. So no more major exemptions to get him into the Masters. And see, that's the thing. I thought he'd be chasing that Masters victory for the rest of his golfing life, trying to win a career Grand Slam.
Yeah, because if you go, you know, not getting world ranking points 2 to 3 years' time, he'll be outside the top 50 and no more Masters appearances unless he gets an invite. Yeah.
All over Red Rover. Anyway.
Interesting.
In my view anyway, thankfully, Rory McIlroy didn't go. I'm very happy about that.
No, I agree.
I'm very happy about that. We'll talk next week, perhaps, on what is going to happen to get these two tours and all these players playing back together more often than just the Masters and the Majors.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend, though. Just keeping an eye on LIV Adelaide.
You better believe it. I'm looking forward to your top. What's your top five this week?
So, in honour of Nelly, I mean, five in a row is something pretty unique and special. It's almost changing the game because a lot of these players, they look up to who the next stars are. And you look at this Miles Russell. He probably has started playing the game. It wasn't because of Scheffler, but there are players that will start the game because of Scottie Scheffler at the moment. Yeah. I'm sure on the women's side it'd be the same with Nelly Korda. So my top five is going to be the top five females who have changed the game.
Changed the game?
Changed the game.
Right, eh? I'm looking forward to that. Masterclass on the way as well. Dan, we got any nice feedback this week?
Oh, we do, plenty. And there might be a bit of a slap for a couple of young men on this podcast.
Right, eh? I'll see you on the 10th too.
Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Mark, you are all across Watch My Numbers. You are all over this like a rash. It does look pretty impressive.
Look, one of the things I missed from my career that Nick enjoyed was having stats available. I never got it, except, of course, for Sand Saves, where I was number one. But I never got the look at how close I was hitting the five irons, where my miss was with my driver. I never got it. And it was always just in my head. I didn't actually know the facts. And with Watch My Numbers, it's no longer a feel thing. It is a factual guide to what you are doing in the game. And Nick, you knew how powerful that was playing in the US Tour.
Yeah, we had what was called ShotLink over there, but I wish I'd have had this sort of an app for myself, because weirdly, I was very much a field player and I kind of stayed away from the statistics. But looking back, if I'd have had this, who knows?
So it's got the pro level, it's got the elite level, it's got the low handicapper, the high handicapper. It covers everybody, and your stats will be assessed at your level, and you'll be pushed into the right direction because of the Watch My Numbers app. It's a beauty, folks, and I highly, highly recommend it.
Now, I was on it the other day, and subscribers get extra bonus content, including videos from you, Mark, doing some stuff as well.
Why are you laughing, Ben? Why are you laughing?
Hey, by the way, do you do it during or the round or after?
Either way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can do it right there and then, or you finish your round and you put your own data in. So you might have had a 150-meter 7-iron on the third hole at Metropolitan Golf Club. Put where you hit it from, you mark where it went to, and then you've got the real-time data at your fingertips anytime you want from that point forward.
Watch My Numbers helps you master your game and play smarter by using data. Thanks for listening to Talk Birdie to me. And if you're up for it, we'd love you to subscribe, rate and share the podcast wherever you listen. And thanks to our great partners who make the show possible. Ping, they'll help you play your best. Watch My Numbers, the most powerful data-based golf app in the world. And the Golf Clearance Outlet, they beat everyone's prices. Now, back to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
You've just sent me something, Nick. And it's a left-handed golfer.
Can't stop watching it, can you?
And it says at the top, I could watch this all day. And I've watched it 1,000 times. It is so funny. Top five.
Okay.
But thanks for the language warning there.
He's saying fuck.
Oh, okay. Pro call.
Anyway.
Oh, dear.
That's very funny.
Yes, and this week's top five is in honor of a great Nelly Korda, who won five tournaments in a row. This top five is the five female golfers who have changed the game, in my opinion, obviously. So I'm not going way back. It's more in recent times, because I wasn't sure what Babe Zaharias, I never watched her play. And
well, she changed the game.
Well, she did change
the game. She must have.
I'm going more for the modern.
Yeah, okay.
Modern
people
times.
People we would have heard
of. Yeah, exactly. Right. So number five, I was debating who to go for on this one, but it's her own Kari Webb. Very hard not to go to go past Kari. She won over 50 professional tournaments, 41 on the LPGA, 7 majors. She has the Kari Webb Scholarship, where players like Minji Lee, Hannah Green, Grace Kim, Karis Davidson have all taken up that scholarship, and obviously a couple of those have won majors as well.
So 7 majors she won?
She won 7.
And the next best Australian is?
Peter Thompson at 5.
That's exactly right.
So she's changed the game for both male and females, to be honest. Number 4, Annika Sorensen. What an amazing golfer she was. Over 90 career professional wins, 10 majors. Remember, she played the Colonial, the men's tournament. She was the first one to do it for a long, long time. And I was living in the US at the time when it all happened.
It was a big deal.
And it was massive.
It was a big
deal. It was incredible. And she really changed the game fitness-wise as well. She was one of the first women to really get stuck into the gym. And I remember seeing her do chin-ups where she had a weight between her legs.
I was going to say the same thing.
And you could see the back muscles on her. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, she plays in celebrity events these days.
Oh, yeah.
She played in the Champions Tour.
This past week.
Yeah, the past week. That's right. Los Colinas. I used to work Los Colinas in my
I got a little something on that celebrity event. I'll tell you about later in the Ping Global results.
Okay, but they put out a tweet. They said, which swing would you take from all the
celebrities? Yes.
Yeah, because Sorensen's considered one of the celebrities.
I know, she
is. It just stuck out.
Well, that's a no-brainer, that one.
It was a no-brainer.
I know whose swing I'd be taking,
So it's ridiculous, all the other stupid swings.
In at number 3, Michelle Wee West.
Oh, yeah.
Or Michelle Wee, however you want to remember her, but she's Michelle Wee West these days. She only won one major of the US Open, but played the Sony Open on the PGA Tour as a 13-year-old.
14-year-old. Girl.
Yep. 14-year-old, sorry.
And missed the cut by one shot. Still, it's the second most amazing thing I've ever seen in golf.
It's so sad that in a way she tinkered around with a golf swing so much, because Did she change the game? Well, I think so in ways. There are a lot of young female professionals who looked up to her coming through and saw what she did at such a young age that I think she's got to go on this list for me. She was amazing to watch.
Nick, before we go to number two, Mark, what's the first most amazing thing?
Gabriel Höckstad winning twice on the US Open.
It is. It's how he did that, I'll never know.
Oh, Gabriel, I hope you're one of our listeners.
I hope you're well, mate. Yeah, he's a good bloke.
He's a great bloke. Good short game coach, too. Okay, number two, Lorena Ochoa.
Oh.
Lorena Ochoa. I loved watching this girl play. She was incredible. Retired quite young. She wanted to have family and do other things, but she changed the game for the Latin American community and everyone down there in South America. She won 27 times in 5 years, Mark. 27 times in 5 years. Two of those were majors. In her career, she only ever missed six cuts. In her career.
Ridiculous.
Insane.
I'm debating in my mind whether I should tell this story, which means I'm going to tell the story.
Okay. All right. Does it come with a language warning?
Well, no. Remember how we all just couldn't, we were scratching our head while she retired?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a story going around, and I've spoken to a few people who I trust, and they say this is true, that towards the end of her career, she was worried about some of the other players on the circuit being a little bit liberal with the rules of golf.
Really?
Yep. She made this known to the authorities. And then in her second last event, somebody did something in the rough that she didn't like.
Okay.
She refused to sign that person's card. And when it went up to the headquarters, up to the boss, they believed the other young lady and not the world number one most dominant player that we'd seen for some time.
Wow.
And she said, well, that's enough for me.
Really?
Played one more week and said, sayonara. Ooh. Well, what do you say in Mexican for goodbye?
Adios.
Adios. There we go.
It's Spanish.
That's better.
Adios, amigo.
I'd ask you to cut that out, Dan, but I know you won't. So. Adios, you said.
That's Japanese, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway.
That's a good story.
Well, see if I can follow one up.
Yeah, we'll have to look more
into it. We'll get her on the pod.
Okay.
She can tell the story herself.
Number one player.
Yep.
Who I think has changed the game. And get this, Mark. In 2008... the number one source of revenue for the LPGA was due to the TV rights they sold to the Asian market.
Oh.
And the player who influenced that the most, Sayuri Park.
Wow.
Unbelievable. She won five majors in a time, starting with the US Open. When she first started on tour, there were six Asians playing on tour, zero Koreans. Mm. Now there are over 70 Asians playing on tour. And if you ask, which is the third, a third of the LPGA membership. And if you ask all of the Korean stars
why
they are there, it's because of Sayuri Park. So she's my number one in females that changed the game.
Superb top five. Right. Probably the best ever, although it wasn't that hard to beat.
True.
So that is a ripper. Sayuri Park. I was actually expecting, I thought you were going to go Lydia.
No, not yet. Well, no. She's still got. She's not in the Hall of Fame yet. She needs one more point to get in the Hall
Sayuri
of Fame.
Sayuri Park, that's a very good top five.
Feedback home, boys?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Now, last week, the Gisborne Golf Club was destroyed by fire. You would have seen that.
Yes.
Very sad news.
Another one.
Nothing to do with the battery either this time.
No?
No, they suspect arson.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah.
Jeez. God, some people are knuckleheads.
Yeah, they are.
Mark's written in, very sad to hear this news. I played there a couple of times in 2002, and I'd always stop in for a drink when I was cycling from Rockbank in the early 2000s.
Geez, a good cycle.
It's a decent cycle, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're running a fundraiser. Now, okay. They're a not-for-profit, so donations are tax-deductible, and we will link to the fundraiser in the socials if you'd like to give them a bit of a hand.
That's good.
Okay.
You know who plays there all the time? Dustin Martin.
Oh, really?
Dustin Martin... the man who won three Norm Smith medals in Richmond's all the grand finals is so hooked on golf, it's hard to comprehend. Can you believe that? I would have thought he'd be the last person in the world to play golf. And that is me judging a book by its cover. and I'm completely wrong.
Do you know his handicap?
No.
Okay.
No. I'll find out. I'll tell you what. I'll send Jack Riewoldt a text message right now, and I'll see if I can get an answer.
Final thing on the Gisborne Golf Club, they are still open to play golf. It's just the clubhouse is gone, but it's still open for golf. So if you want to play, really important to go and support them, I reckon.
Mm.
Lee wrote in, "Hey, boys, playing Pennant a couple of weeks ago, I was 1 under through 12, and I was 4 down. A young fella birdied 8 of the last 9 holes. He got me. It was a pleasure to watch him, but I did not like to lose in that way."
Ooh, yeah, match play's tough. You can play really well and get your butt kicked, and you can play poorly and still win. So, yeah. But at least he was under par.
Yeah, how'd you go in match play, Nick? You ever have any decent success?
I did okay.
Yeah. Ever beaten anyone of note? Or?
No, not really. Not really.
Have you guys ever played Wordle?
Yes.
Never.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
You can. It's kind of addictive. Yeah, I don't do it anymore, but got into it.
Yeah, it's fun. So Adam wrote in, and he was playing Wordle last week, and he sent a little screenshot of what it says, and he's written, "Really? This of all words when I'm about to have a hit?" Yeah. And the word was shank.
Oh. Are you kidding me?
No.
Which is not ideal.
By the way, Scotty Scheffler had a shank in his first round at Hilton Head on the third hole, had a double bogey, a 6, with a shank. So even the Masters champion can do it. Apparently, he was still in Masters party mode, I guess, but it worked out okay for him.
Pretty amazing.
Mm. Speaking of Scheffler, Daniel's got a view on Scheffler that he's mentioned here, so be keen on your views on this. I think I know what it might be. Daniel's written in, "Scheffler is the worst thing to happen to pro golf. He is incredibly boring. He doesn't engage with anyone. He doesn't show any emotion. He is like watching a robot. I can't stand him, and that's why I watch Liv."
Righto.
Okay.
So I don't know about you, Nick, but when I was a young man...
You go.
When I was a young man, my dream was to make my golf as boring as possible.
Yep.
Just to rip it down the middle and rip it close every single time. Not make too much of a fuss on the putting greens, just be boring. Just hit good putt after good putt after good. In fact, my dream was to make the game as boring as it possibly could be. And then if I reached that goal, I wouldn't be podcasting with you.
I love boring golf.
Yes, it is the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
How nice a compliment is it when you're playing and someone says, "God, your golf is boring." It's because you're ripping it down the middle every time.
Well, it's not so much ripping it down the middle. You're just not making any mistakes.
That's it.
And the best compliment you can receive is at the end they go, "Really? You shot 67?
Yeah, that's it.
I thought you were level par.
Yeah, that's it. That's the best compliment you can get.
So you're kind of saying, even though Daniel may be right in part, that's actually he's giving Scheffler a compliment.
I don't think he's giving him a compliment. Yeah, look, well, we're giving Scheffler a compliment.
Yeah, we're giving him a big compliment. His game is so magnificently boring, it's not funny.
His reactions and that are, but to watch him play, to watch the swing and everything, how he goes about it, I think is completely fascinating.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about Rory earlier on. Peter wrote in, "Rory doesn't need the money. I'm a Liv fan, but him going to Liv would be pointless for him."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
Counterproductive.
Okay.
Now, are you ready for this?
Oh, this is the whack. Go on.
Got a whack for you. This is from Bill. "Just what I feared. Mark, you and Nick are both in denial about the state of the home tour and you don't want to upset the apple cart. Roger Davis, being on the board, is in the same boat. Can you please give your honest opinion on the state of the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia? There is not one future tournament announced, and wasn't it totally disingenuous of them to hold a Q school knowing this fact?"
Okay, that's interesting. I think you'll know people at headquarters will tell you that it's far from the halcyon days of the Australasian Tour in 1990 when I first turned pro. I think there was 21 or 22 events and we were in Asia and we're playing for big money all the time. So we all know that Australia is far from the greatest mini tour in the world like it used to be. We get that. But Nick and I know that next summer is going to be bigger and better than this year.
Yeah, we're going to have more events.
And unfortunately, it's a baby step situation that we are in. And I say we because I feel like I'm part of it, and I'm sure you do too, Nick, when you're broadcasting every single week. So there is a we factor here where Nick and I are invested and cheering it along. We are. Can it get back to where it was? Probably not, when you consider the wraparound events of both the DP World Tour and the US Tour that we have today. Probably not. But we've got to find our niche. And that's what Nick and I don't want to talk for you, Nick, but I'll talk for me. that's what I am cheering for.
that we somehow find our niche in the world of golf. Now, because there is so much turmoil in the world of golf at the moment, no one knows what direction we should head in. How can I say this? With certainty. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows. We've got to sit back and wait. And if the chips land in our favour, we could have some fantastic news in the next couple of years. Mm. But it is a baby step situation. Believe me, Billy Boy, the PGA and Golf Australia are invested in pushing and making our summers of golf better and better and better. So I don't know if you got anything to add.
No, I just think at the moment the tournaments are obviously on the smaller scale. They're only $250,000 events. But you got to start somewhere with all these, and it's going to grow. I know that. It will continue to grow. I think we'll add one or two more events this coming season. Minji and Minwoo, I think, are going to do the WA event for the TPS. Yep. Sorry, the WebEx Players Series events. That's going to be a big one as well. So if we can... It's important to get all our local superstars, the Minwoos, the Minjis, and Hannah Greens and so on, to come back and continue to help support the tour as well. That's a big part of it. And if we can make the Australian Open, the PGA, and hopefully one day we get an Australian Masters back, who knows? We can have those two or three really big events just to fit nicely in at the end of the year, along with about another dozen to 15 smaller events.
Mm.
Hopefully we can get to maybe $500,000 or something like that for each of those. That'd be fantastic.
And have them on the Challenger Tour or something like that. The Challenger PGA Tour.
That's really what that then provides is somewhere for our local talent to play.
Yep.
The broadcast will get bigger. Invest more money and so on and so forth. But it takes time.
It takes time. You and I should jump on a committee, I think. I think it's time. I think it's time we just bash the door down and just fix this up.
You don't sound like you're in denial. And in fact, I know you've given Golf Australia and PGA of Australia a few whacks over the journey. So much so that I had someone who shall remain nameless last week messaging me and say, hey, do you reckon you could ease off on us a bit? So, there has been a few wags here and there.
Yeah,
but I'm glad Bill felt that he could say that too.
Yeah.
Well, look, I imagine that comes from a position of passion for Australian golf.
Yeah.
That's why he sent that in, Bill. He obviously has criticised us and the PGA Tour of Australasia, but I'm sure it comes from a place in him that is passionate about Australian golf.
Yeah, totally agree.
We're all working towards the same goal.
Nick, last week on the pod, you mentioned how you played Mackay and you played...
the Cricketers Club.
The Cricketers Club of Mackay.
Yeah.
And Ross from Mackay, who we've had on the pod a couple of times, he's a fantastic guy, he wrote in, hey guys, a little update from last week's pod with Nick on the par 3 course at the Mackay Cricket Club. It's now Harrop Park Great Barrier Reef Arena. Ooh. Now, I know that, and I did wonder if it was that, because I've been there, because it's my wife's hometown.
Right.
And I have been there a bunch of times, and it's a beautiful ground. They play a lot of rugby league there. They play AFL there. It's fantastic.
Well, that was back in the mid-90s when I played it, so.
Yeah, it's changed completely. They've renovated it totally. It's beautiful. Okay. The green complexes are still there, but it's not really a golf course anymore, just grass mounds. So there you go. That's what's happened to it.
Okay, just before we get to the Ping Global results, Jack Riewoldt has got back to me about Dustin Martin's handicap.
Oh. Okay.
Plays off 18.
Nice.
It's not bad.
Shot a hole, I like it.
That's perfect. That's a great handicap to have.
That's what I want to finish up on, a shot a hole.
And just quietly, Jack Riewoldt shouldn't have been a full forward. He should have been a golfer. Jack, you missed your calling.
Good swing.
Oh, mate, the shaft lines are unbelievable. Big and strong.
What does he play off?
I think he's been the plus. He's been the plus before. He wouldn't be outside of scratch.
If only there was some way we could find out.
Okay. Play the trumpet.
Okay.
And I'll find out Jackson.
Yes, this week on the Ping Global results, we had a major championship being played on the LPGA Tour where Nelly Korda got the win. Two-shot victory over Maya Stark, her second major of her career, and obviously 5 wins in a row to tie the record with Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam as other 5-time winners. Can she win 6 in a row? That's the big question. She's entered next week too, which is, I think it's the LA Championship in Wilshire.
Didn't have a break.
Not going to have a break after this one.
Wow.
Mm. Right, well, she had a seven-week stretch between her first and second win, remember. So
yeah, okay.
She's been playing a lot of golf, but when you're hot, you're hot. You've got to keep it rolling.
If you're a streak, you'd go for it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And she did a cannonball into the water afterwards.
Did she? Yeah, good on her.
Because that's the tradition there at the Chevron.
What would you do? I reckon I'd do a bit of a horsey.
Horsey, yes. Yeah, that's my go-to.
I'll do the horsey.
Yeah, I don't want to damage too many things. Amongst the Australasians, tied 17th was Lydia Ko, tied 40th with Gabby Ruffles. She was going along quite nicely there
better
for a while,
that.
But
yeah,
just struggled
was.
A little bit coming in. Steph Kyriakou was tied 40th along with her. Robin Choi tied 54th. And Sarah Kemp tied 70th. And Karis Davidson 72nd for those who made the cut. Bit of a couple of miscuts from Hannah Green and Minji Lee, which was a bit surprising, to be honest. But anyway, on the RBC Heritage, we're obviously not finished, unfortunately, at the moment on the PGA Tour. It is a signature event. Scotty Scheffler has a five-shot lead, so we can basically give it to him.
Give it to him.
Exactly.
We'll lay our words if he doesn't. Yeah. If he somehow loses.
He's not going to lose that one. Going to add a tartan jacket to the green one. Oh, that's a good one, that tartan.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Peter Lonard is the only person who ever looked good in it.
Yeah, Aaron Baddeley won it as well. Yeah, so, yeah. Only the Aussies look good.
Yep. Peter Lonard made it work somehow.
Jason Day finished tied for 19th. He's already finished. Yep. And Cam Davis tied for 49th. There was a bit of an issue, a bit of an uproar again with the invites being granted at the event. Because it's a signature event, remember?
Yeah, once upon a time, you used to have a field of about 120.
Well, now it's only 70 or 69. Yeah. This is a valuable invite to get. Now, only give out four.
Who got it?
Webb Simpson. This is his third invite into a signature event, and he sits on the policy board.
Right, that's enough for Webb.
Well, guess what?
Where did he finish?
Well down. Tied for 42nd.
Yeah, okay.
The other three invites were Lowry, Woodland, and Kisner, and they were both finished in the 60s. So they're well down the field. So the invites probably weren't dishing out quite how they would have liked.
Well, he can't get any more.
Well, apparently you can get four of the signature events. And there's only eight signature events, I think. It's crazy. And he's going to get one at Quail Hollow because that's his home club. Okay, and so I think he's a sponsor for Wells Fargo or someone like that.
Okay. So. Well, he's a US Open champion.
Yeah, but still. A couple of the pros weren't too happy about the invites that are being given out. Anyway. Also, alongside Hilton Head, which is where they were playing, they played the Corrales Punta Cana Championship down in the Dominican Republic.
Lovely.
Where Billy Horschel.
Good on him for going and playing.
9 under course record 63 to win by 2 from Wes Bryan.
How long ago did he win the FedEx Cup?
Ooh.
It wasn't that long ago, mate.
It's got to be a good 10 years ago, I'd think.
Yeah, righto.
So it's his 8th PGA Tour win. And if you remember a year ago when he was playing Memorial, he was in tears after he'd shot 84.
Yeah, that's
right. So that's how silly this game is, folks.
Yep.
In a year, he's just gone ahead and won a PGA Tour event. So
good on him.
The lone Aussie there was Harrison Hendicott. Endicott, who finished tied for 33rd, a ping player himself. In Asia, the Saudi Open presented by PIF, we had a massive Aussie presence. 18 Aussies were playing. 9 of them made the cut. But it was American John Catlin who had a 7-shot win over Wade Ormsby, our own Wade.
He's a good player, Wade.
Yeah.
How old's Wade now? 41, 42, 43?
Early 40s, I'm thinking. Early to mid-40s. But for John Catlin, he's won back-to-back on the Asian Tour, and he nearly made history, Mark.
He
almost went 72 holes without a bogey. He made a bogey on the 14th hole on the Sunday. So, on the final round. I think they finished that on Saturday, actually.
44 years old, Wayne Ormsby.
But John Catlin, he's been on a heater. Last win that he had, he shot a 59 as well. So he's making history all over the place. On the Champions Tour, they had the Invited Celebrity Classic at your home club, Los Colinas.
Yes.
Back in Texas there, Mark. So Mike Flasky is a good buddy of mine who lived at the Isleworth Country Club, and he has a thing called Mike Flasky Entertainment.
Right.
And it's sort of this promotions company that runs these tournaments. The original tournament used to be the Diamond Resorts International. And you know who the inaugural winner of that was?
No.
You're looking at him.
Good idea.
It was just a pro-am format back in those days. But they turned it into an LPGA event originally where they had all the tournament winners playing, the Diamond Resorts Invitational. And now they've done it where they've gone to the Champions Tour and they run the Invited Celebrity Classic. So it's morphed into all these different things. But congrats, Mike, on a great event. It only turned into 36 holes because one of the days got washed out.
Mm.
But Paul Broadhurst from the UK, he won by a shot from David Toms. There were 10 Aussies. There's so many Aussies playing the Champions Tour. Best was your cousin, Stephen Allen.
Good on you, Steve.
Who finished fifth. Stuart Appleby, my neighbour from back in the Isleworth days, tied sixth. And Richard Green and Greg Chalmers both tied 12th. Unfortunately for Greg Chalmers, a top 10 gets him into the next event. He finished one shot out of that. So he's got to go Monday qualify for the next one.
Just on that, on Richard, hearing Richard Green's name, you know, my source.
Oh, yes.
The source.
Well, you have two sources now, so I'm not sure.
No, well, I can't claim Lang as a source.
Okay.
But I can claim Kevin Youngblood, who plays a lot of golf with Scotty Scheffler's brother-in-law.
Youngblood, that was a good ice hockey movie back in the day.
Yeah, what a great show that
Rob
was.
Rob Lowe.
He sent me a message today, Kevin Youngblood. Had lunch with Richard Green and Philip Hodge today at Los Colinas after his round. Great to see him. So... There you go.
Greeny and Hodgie.
Hodgie's a superstar. He is. He's a great man.
He is. Philip Hodge. On the Corn Ferry Tour, they had the Lecom Suncoast Classic in Florida, where Sweden's Tim Whitting won in a three-way playoff. And as you mentioned, the left-hander Miles Russell became the youngest player to record a top 25 on either PGA Tour or Corn Ferry Tour history.
Amazing. Isn't does he incredible? Get the play next week? I think he does.
He does. Yeah. Top 25 gets you in. He finished tied for 20th.
He gets play.
So he's got to have another week off school. He's a high school freshman. Unbelievable.
So freshman, so that's year nine.
Yeah.
He's in year nine.
Year nine, exactly, only a couple of Aussies made the cut. John Lyris is over there and Brett Druitt, but they finished well down the field. Yeah. Locally, we had the Tasmanian Open going on down at Launceston Golf Club. Alex Edge had a wire-to-wire win. Yes. Great win by him.
You and see he came second?
Caleb Bovolina?
Yes, works in the Kingston Pro Shop.
He does.
Just give him
that's
a little
correct.
Shout out.
Well done, Caleb. Did he shoot a course record? On
shot a course record that still wasn't good enough on the last day to get past him.
It's a tough game down there. But also on the women's front, Georgia Bailey won the Women's Tasmanian Open, and she's a member down there. So congratulations to both Alex and Georgia. And then this week coming, we obviously have Live Adelaide. Yep. That's going up against the Zurich Classic, which is the pairs event on the PGA Tour. So really no competition there.
No, the Live event's going to kill it as far as we're concerned.
Can Nelly win six in a row at the LA Championship at the Wilshire Country Club, where Hannah Green is defending?
So. I'm going to say no.
Mm.
Can't win six
can't
in a
win.
Row. No,
well,
can't win.
No one's done it. So let's see. Anyway, that's your Ping Global results.
Now, Nick, you follow lots and lots of golfers in the Ping Global results and all over the place. One of the golfers you've been following for a long time, because in part because you're friends with her, is Hannah Gregg.
Correct.
And we are going to try and get her on for a bonus pod next Monday. Mm. So if you can maybe take care of sorting that
out. Yes, I certainly will. She's a fantastic young lady, plays out at the Whirlwind Golf Club in Phoenix, Arizona, trying to make her way on the professional tour on the in the women's game. So I think it's a fascinating discussion as to how these players go about it, how they start their careers. She's big on social media. She's also got some really fascinating little sponsors going on as well in the short game area. So I can't wait to talk to her.
She's an interesting case because she doesn't come out of college with this amazing pedigree.
No. Mm.
And she's got to make money to fuel that dream of hers of being a very good player.
Yep.
And she's done it via social media and not in a Paige Spiranek. How do you say her last name? Not in the,
Paige Spiranek?
Something like that. Not like that. Yep. She's done it with wit.
Yes, correct.
So she's interesting to me. Mm. Anyway, looking forward to that chat.
Yeah, she just got a card on the LET as well. So she's been down here in Australia playing. So
good on her.
Next Monday we'll do that. Mark, anything from Revolt?
Oh, yes. I sent back...
What's his handicap?
Hang on, he's just sent it through.
Ooh.
He's playing off 3.5. Come on, Jack, he used to play off plus 2. I play golf every 4 months now.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
All right, Mark, it's the masterclass. What do you got this week?
Well... You're not going to believe it, but I was sitting on the driving range last week and I'm filming my swing like I normally do, and my God, how good is the iPhone for filming your swing these days? It is ridiculous. So I'm sitting there looking at it and this bloke peered over my shoulder. His name is Stephen Bann.
Oh, Banny.
And he was looking at my action.
Let's add another one to the list.
Yeah, we've got to get him on. Yeah. We have got to get Stephen Bann on the show at some stage to talk about it. Anyway, he goes, mate, your backswing looks good. Jeez, it changed direction. Looks, what are you doing with your hips? I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, yeah, you
it's not right. Anyway, he starts going into professional coach mode.
Okay.
And he uses this term.
Well, he did coach some good players.
Well, he coached some of the best. KJ Choi was the, I think he's still coaching KJ
Is
Choi.
He?
He's still coaching KJ Choi.
Finchie, Appleby, Allenby.
Allenby, everybody.
You name it.
He's a very, very good coach. And what he doesn't know about golf, anyway, he goes, you know what you need to do? He goes, you got to feel like you're landing closed. I said, what the hell? What do you mean? He goes, well, your hips, you're very right-sided with your hip. Now, I look at mine, I can't, with my eye, I can't see what he's asking.
Mm-hmm.
But I have sent both of you footage of our boy, Ludvig Åberg.
Okay.
And you know their show that they do, it's called On the Range these days, and they show you on Wednesday what's happening on the range. They focused in on Ludvig. Now, I've sent you two swings, one from behind and one from in front. And look what Ludvig is working on.
Ah.
So what Steve means is when you change direction, instead of just landing with your hips turning, he wants you to, when you change momentum with your weight shift, he wants you to land on the lead side closed. And then you straighten your leg.
Interesting.
Okay. Now, I'm watching more and more people do this. I know that Roy McIlroy has worked on this before. We've seen Tiger Woods work on this stuff before. But it's always been explained to me by using the ground forces and all this kind of stuff, right?
So this is at the transition, right?
This is transitional.
From the top to the first move on the downswing.
That's right. And, and a lot of people tell you, when you change weight, you don't finish your backswing and then change your weight. You actually change your weight early before you get to the top. But Steve said, I want you to land closed. And a light switch clicked on.
Okay.
And I'll show you later.
You hitting it 10 yards further?
I'm hitting it further and straighter. Not with the greatest consistency at the moment, but what I'm seeing is very, very different. Now, I'll post the videos of Ludvig and what he's working on the driving range.
I could see that on that video.
I'll just also post the video of my before and after. And, you know, we said with a lot of players who hit left shots when we commentate, how the back foot stalls.
Yes.
And goes back down. I've been a back foot staller my whole life. And I've always tried to do it by trying to turn the hips further.
Mm-hmm.
I was just doing it the wrong way. I started landing closed, and you've got to see the difference. It is ridiculous. So language is important. If you're trying to understand something, maybe get the coach that you are seeing at the moment to use different language, because the ground forces didn't make much sense to me, and I've been playing this game for a long time. But as soon as Steve said, land closed, the light switch went off and things changed. Anyway, that's my masterclass.
Well, that's a great way to improve your game. And the other way you could improve your game is to download Watch My Numbers.
Oh, yeah.
From the App Store, from Google Play. The masterclass is brought to you by Watch My Numbers. Yep. They are a class above in the world of golf apps.
I've put my first round into my Watch My Numbers app.
Ooh.
It took a few goes to get going, but once you get going, it's as simple as you like and away you go.
Game changer.
Game changer.
Yeah. I've downloaded it and I'm ready for my first game. We're going to play Friday.
That's right. We're playing with Frank on Friday.
Mm.
Looking forward to it at Metropolitan Golf Club. Looking forward to seeing these new changes. We'll actually report back on Metropolitan and their new changes as well.
Mm.
We won't leave anything behind.
Very nice.
All right. See you, boys.
Cheers.
And thanks for listening to Talk Birdie to Me. We appreciate you listening and getting involved. And a huge thanks to our fantastic partners. Without them, the show just wouldn't be the same. Watch My Numbers. Download the app and turn your bogeys into birdies by analysing and improving your game like never before. The Golf Clearance Outlet. Awesome prices on great gear. You can see them in Melbourne, Sydney, Brizzy, Perth, and online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. And Ping. See your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting. They'll help you play your best. If Ping's good enough for Nick O'Hearn, well, that says it all. And we'd love you to get involved with the show. You can leave a voicemail with any comments or questions at talkbirdietome.com.au or send an email or comment on the socials. And if you can share the pod with a friend, well, we'd love that. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media. Sound design, Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.